Good evening. I would like to take a moment to welcome you to this production. This tale is your basic comic tragedy, complete with pathos and sarcasm, but leaving room for hope. It may be construed as irreverent. However, the underlying theme of this presentation is one of gravity and truth. The subject matter regards a man's search for Christianity in today's world. A search in which simple choices determine vast eternal outcomes. But enough of my yakking. Let the curtain open, and please do enjoy A Nightmare on Church Street.
Well, let's see what's on the radio. Well,
are you looking to secure your future? Then look no further. Introducing
how
an
sweet
investment opportunity of a lifetime and beyond. It's God approved, created by God himself, so it's risk-free, and it comes with some incredible benefits, including 100% and more return on your investment, guaranteed. God will prove himself as your true provider. Partnership with countless others in the work of the kingdom. Open doors for personal, material, and spiritual blessings from God, whichever he chooses, fitting exactly what you need perfectly. And so much more. Getting in on this exciting opportunity is easy. Just see your local church. So, what are you waiting for? A program that allows
you... what am I waiting for? Turn the dial. Seek my local church to inherit eternity. Marketing.
But in that statement, God declares himself God, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. And I could go on. Now, if I cannot get you to believe, then there is no point in you listening.
Huh?
The only book that we have that gives us the truth about God is the Bible. You can trust the word of God. You can't trust men.
Oh, great.
I said men. I didn't say there's not a man on the earth that
you
can't
trust men.
There are a few men that preach today, that preach the Bible without any denominational slant or any man-made notions or doctrines, dogmas, or ideas.
Dogmas?
There are a few men today that preach the Bible exactly as it is laid down. They're few. You can't trust men because men do not agree.
Well,
God
now
is
there's
a person.
Unity.
God talks. Jesus said the words.
That's
I speak
quite enough. Thank you. What can you trust? Of course, I haven't read my Bible very much. There's just so much stuff out there. Everybody talks like they know this Jesus guy, but so many different ways, it seems. I don't know. I just have this feeling inside that I should come to God. That he wants me to know something. Which way am I supposed to be a Christian? You know, I've heard of Jesus. I have read the Bible some. And I remember praying to God in school and the guys at work use his name a lot. Guys on TV use his name to get money from people and tell them they'll have lots of great things for themselves. They believe in him. And everybody will like you. I've heard some say I could be forgiven of my sins and be able to do the same stuff I always used to do before because I'm forgiven. Like into the future. Maybe I should become a Christian. Seems like a lot of ways to do that, though. Which way? I haven't been to church since my uncle died last year. I think I should find a church and I could join it and become a Christian. I'm kidding, right? I actually think going to church is going to make me a Christian. Everybody's doing it, even the politicians. Gotta do something. Maybe if I go to sleep in the garage tonight, I'll become a Mercedes, too. I don't know, I've just heard so much about Christianity and how wonderful the blessings would be. What the heck? What would I have to lose checking it out? Well, I'll set the alarm. And tomorrow, find a church and become a Christian. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Tomorrow, I'll become a Christian. Tomorrow, I'm gonna become a Christian. Tomorrow, I'm gonna become a Christian. I'll become a Christian. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. I'll become a Christian. Tomorrow. 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 I'll become a Christian.
Map said there's an exit called Church Street Exit. Which number is it? Let's see. 66. Here it comes now. Yep. Church Street. Funny. Funny, there's no way back to the highway. You can only turn left at the bottom of this off-ramp. No, there's probably a way further back up this road. Should be if everybody goes to church here. No signs. Is this supposed to be Church Street? I didn't see any cross streets. Oh, wait. What's this? There's a sign leaning over the guardrail. Condemn? What? This must be a joke. It said Condemnation Boulevard. am I having a bad feeling about this? Ah, come on, what are you talking about? Remain calm. I'm bound to find churches on Church Street, right? All right, except we've gone almost a mile and I haven't seen a single building or a sign. Just that road sign over the rail back there. Ah, don't be so negative. I'm gonna become a Christian today. Cheer up already. Smooth road ahead, huh? And I've gone 3 miles and there's nothing. Not even an on-ramp back to the highway. Nothing. I haven't seen a thing. Man, I must have missed the right turn when I came off the highway. Better just turn around and head back. What? Where's the road behind me? I'm sure I don't know. It's all dark behind me like there's no road. Oh man, this is nuts. This doesn't happen. I gotta get out of here. Okay, all right. There's a rational explanation for all of this. Somewhere. Too many cheese nips before bed. Now what? Now what? Well, I could still go forward. I got a full tank of gas, and there's bound to be some place coming up soon. Somebody who can help me get out of here, find my way, right? Yeah, right. Right. Let's keep going. Yeah, there's still no sign of anything anywhere. It gets dark behind after I've gone ahead of where I've been. Am I on the Twilight Zone or what? Yeah, right. Hey, a sign ahead. Church complex, open 24/7, next left. Oh man, it's about time. Hope I'm not late. Whoa. Look at this place. It's the size of a mall. Must be a mile long. Where the heck's the cars? The parking lot's a million acres and there isn't a single car in it. This is nuts. It's Sunday. And it can't be that hard to find a church that's open. Well, nuts or not, this is about burnt. I need to go find out how to get out of here, and maybe somebody inside there will help. So, let's park right here out front and go in and find someone, okay? Yeah, like an idiot talking to myself. Yeah, right, and let's go in through the only door in this mile-long church, too. Wow. No windows, either. I should have stayed in bed. Next time, remind me to say no before I ask myself to do anything stupid. Now, let's go have a look-see. Whoa! Look at the size of this door! Look at the size of this door! Looks like it came from some cathedral somewhere. Phew. That's the only door. Alright. Alright, come on. What's going on? Nobody home. There's two doors at the end of this room. Let's see if anybody's home.
Welcome, old Jack, to the fully automated church of multitudinous flavors and pathways to heaven.
Hey, robo-greeter.
You may proceed to your favorite denomination, fellowship, or cult through door number one.
Cult?
Or choose door number two and browse through our large and varied selections of any faith that strikes your fancy, or any doctrine that tickles your ears, all the many delightful dogmas from our ever-growing ecumenical list. You're bound to find something to please you. Thank you.
Cheery guy. Doctrine? Faith? What does dogmas have to do with Christianity? Came here to become a Christian. I found it. Okay. I'm gonna give it a shot. What's to lose? I may just get an answer in this place. Pick a door, huh? Alright. Well, let's browse.
Hi, boys and girls, for God. Welcome to the first church of oft-repeated platitudes. Our dear pastor, Jessamina Lobo, will be preaching today.
I thought preachers are supposed to be men.
Yes, she's back. Back from her cruise in the Caribbean. And from what I've heard, it's been a wonderful sabbatical for her. And she returns to us now refreshed to preach on the God who loves you no matter what you do.
Warm and fuzzy God, huh?
Like we say here at the First Church of Oft-Repeated Platitudes, there's plenty of cake in the kingdom. So pass out the plates and eat some. Nice dress. I give you Pastor Lobo.
Friends and lovers, no matter what your moral persuasion, no matter what your sexual preference, politics, or hair color, we are all here to worship the same God the rest of the world worships. Amen. No matter his name. Praise his long suffering for us. He loves you no matter what, and he wants all of you to come here to this holy worship, whether you're sinners or not. He's not a God of wrath. He's a God of love. You don't have to be embarrassed by tears nor burdened down with guilt before you come to God. God wants to lift you up. Just believe on him, and you can be saved from damnation. You shall not die. He wants you to feel special. You are special. You are somebody. God loves you. He is love. Love, love, love. If you're a sinner, why, we can fix it with God. Why not just pray the following holy prayer, just in from corporate, and make sure your sins are forgiven before you eat the holy cake from the Lord at the table here today.
Holy cake?
Then, just walk down to our beautiful, ornate pulpit, which it is my honor to stand in, and read the prayer in your bulletin and sign the membership roster. Then, you are saved.
It's that easy, huh? I won't bet on it.
Yeah. He loves you so much that he wants you to be happy and healthy and wealthy.
Man, they act like they're stoned or something.
And for that blessing, he wants you to put as big an offering as you can into the beautiful golden plates our automated ushers will pass around to keep this wonderful ministry alive for his glory. Isn't it great to be a Christian?
I gotta get out of here. There's nobody alive in here. It gives me the creeps. There's the exit door. What the heck is that sound? They're counting the money.
This is your pastor, J. Gidney Bullthrower. I want to welcome you to the Church of Repeated Sanctification of the Imperfect but Forgiven Incorporated. Now, simmer down. Before we get started, I would like to do the announcements. Now, our Christian softball season has ended prematurely. We've been blackballed from the Jesus League. Simmer down. Now, it's all because of Brother Diddley's brutal assault of the umpire in last week's game. I know Brother Diddley's a bit overzealous with the Lord's sports, and he's not perfect. Hey, but he's forgiven, amen? Hey! Amen. Needless to say, if we get raptured out of here, we won't have to worry about the immense cost of litigation of this matter in the courts. I might mention a prayer for the umpire who sustained massive head trauma when Brother Diddley's car ran over him in the field. But I must have left that prayer in Mother's suit. Well, on an encouraging note, Brother Diddley will be moving his Christian Super Bowl party to larger quarters this year. So, praise God and go team, amen?
So many things a Christian can do. But it's the same thing everybody else does. They don't call it Christian.
Amen. I want to remind you of the weekly meeting of Christian pastors addicted to pornography.
What?
No, it's not just for pastors, and all are welcome. There are many new ways we can discuss about living with our addiction. Praise God. It's always such a blessed help. It's always such a blessed help to fellowship with fellow Christian addicts. A Christian bowling league is forming up now. Brother Roland will be signing up teams at his newly opened Hooters restaurant.
What? I heard some guy on the radio say that Jesus said a rich man wouldn't get to heaven.
I would like to thank Brother Roland for his generous corporate donation of the new pastoral sauna and swimming pool. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah.
A Christian businessman?
Now, before the praise teams assemble, The usher teams are coming forth for the collection of the tithes and love gifts. Just look up there on the overhead projector and you can watch yourself giving on TV. Amen. I'll be preaching on the subject of the value of your soul to the church and how God will make a special place in heaven for those of you who donate your worldly possessions and accounts to the furtherance of this holy ministry here at our beautiful church. So let the ushers come now and let's say a prayer, shall we? Oh, dear God, we are so happy you blessed us with all the things of this world. We know that you love us because we have so much. Let us never doubt that we can have more. We know the more we give, the more we get. Thank you, dear Lord, that we do not suffer and are righteous in your sight because that's what our church believes. We thank you in the name of... Amen. Now bring on the praise team and let's party in the Lord, shall we?
That's it.
Let's party. Hallelujah. Amen. Rock on.
Guards. Oh, yeah, the money.
You, but this prophet has spoken to you.
Amen.
He has raised me up, and he has told me to tell you, if you do not tithe to this church, you will lose your soul.
Preach it, brother.
Amen.
We must continue his work.
Hallelujah.
We must bring down his glorious kingdom and establish it on this earth.
Lord.
How can we do this without money?
Amen.
Dig deep into your pockets, little sheep. Dig deep for the Lord. Save your souls from hell.
Lord.
And this church from insolvency.
Hallelujah.
Accept your personal Lord and Savior, which I have shown you. And join us now in building this kingdom.
Lord.
Sent on me. Well, which way to hell?
Hallelujah.
Enjoy.
Whoa, church!
Welcome, dude. Come on in, man. Yeah, rock for Jesus. Rock for Jesus, dude.
I don't think so.
Come on, man.
I don't think so. That's it. Nice hair, dude. Game over.
What am I doing here? This is ridiculous.
Can I help you?
Why don't you sneak up behind me? Your voice sounds familiar. Sure, you could tell me how to get out of here.
I'm not sure I can do that.
What do you mean you can't do that? Don't you work here?
Well, yes. But I'm not programmed to allow exits of any kind.
What are you, some kind of robot?
Well, sir, you'll have to decide on a church and return there and be happy and content. After all, you were invited to enter in.
Invited? I wasn't invited. Look, I was trying to find a church around here. I found this place, and all I want to do now is leave. It has not been a good day, all right? This isn't what I was looking for, I guess.
You weren't invited?
Absolutely not.
You weren't enrolled?
No.
Let me check my database. If your name isn't written in the book of the church life registry, I suppose I can allow you to leave after all.
Fine.
For the record, sir, why did you come here?
Hey, I came to become a Christian, to worship God, and to be like Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
I am sorry, sir. He hasn't been here since this place has been built and occupied. Seems the other management deemed it necessary to release him from the corporation. He was a bit of a troublemaker. You'll find that it's much easier to keep the patrons calm and orderly without mentioning much of anything about him.
So what's the point of all this? I mean, I thought there was only one church, you know, the church. At least that's what I read in the Bible. Why so many churches? Where's Jesus here? I mean, where's the truth?
So many questions. I am sorry. I am not programmed to answer these questions. They do not compute. All that I can tell you is what I have been programmed to tell you.
And that is?
That we must entertain all persuasions here in the hope of creating a spirit of oneness in purpose. Our faiths are purpose-driven, and all must be made comfortable in his or her own way.
Yeah, so there really aren't any true Christians here?
I'm sorry, sir. Christianity has such a broad meaning these days. We here at Multitudinous Flavors and Pathways have found that accommodating all beliefs and deities is the way to broad unity and world peace.
So you give them what they want and not what they need.
Excuse me, sir?
So this was a waste of time, then?
Obviously so, sir. According to the results of my search, you are not logged as a member here.
Well, that's good news.
This is indeed a rare occurrence.
You say you can't allow folks who belong here to leave?
Correct, sir. You didn't come here the usual way, and the energetic sales program didn't seem to work on you. If you had become a member here, you'd be forbidden to leave. You see, I am only programmed to receive members. One can change their membership in whatever denomination they please, one church to another. Shift and shop, as we say. One can check out of these at any time they please, and move on to another. But they never leave the mall.
Now that explains the empty parking lot.
Excuse me, sir?
But I can leave, you say?
Indeed. You don't belong here.
Fine. Where's the door?
Where it has always been, sir. Right down at the end of the hall.
Fine. Thanks.
It has been a pleasure to serve you, brother.
Yeah, I'll bet it has. And I'm not your brother. I'm out of here. Thanks a lot. Well, hallelujah. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now which way? Well, there's no road on the right. Well, make a left. Let's keep going, see where this stupid road leads. I am totally confused now. I didn't know there were so many different ways of becoming a Christian. I may not be the brightest bulb on the string, but all I got out of this was like a circus. Everybody does what they want to do and have a good time and hoop and holler and you go where they feel is good for them. Man, I just feel in my heart that there is a way to be a Christian. I just know it inside, and it doesn't have anything to do with some church. All I saw were people who acted like their way was the only way. To tell you the truth, I think they're all nuts. What's that up ahead on the right? That little green field. Under that tree there, there's a person sitting there waving. You know, come to think of it, I haven't seen a blessed tree or even remember seeing grass or anything since I've been on this road. Nothing's making sense. Well, I may as well stop. This guy looks human. I have to find a way out of here somehow. It's worth a shot. There, sir. I saw you waving. I hope I'm not bothering you.
Not at all. I saw you coming and I had hoped you'd stop for a moment. You look troubled.
Well, frankly, yes. I came looking for a church so I could become a Christian, and what I found was like a nightmare. I couldn't turn around on this road. It just plain disappeared behind me. The church I found was full of other churches, full of all kinds of things that didn't make sense. And some freaky doorman let me out because he said I didn't belong there, like Jesus. I'm looking for this Jesus, and the only way to go now is down this road that's in front of me, and all I want to do is get out of here.
Calm down. I know this has been rough on you.
How do you know that?
By your own words, of course. Those few that do stop along the way here are usually in the same frame of mind after visiting the mall. Most just speed on by and go left at the fork, down the boulevard there, and they never return.
A fork ahead? A choice? Look, I just want to get out of here and get back to normal. Can you help me with some directions or something? Can you tell me what's up ahead at the fork?
Yes, yes, I can. Be at peace.
Peace? I wish.
The road forks just up ahead, about a third of a mile. I'm glad you stopped before you came to it.
Why? Dangerous up ahead?
Possibly.
Great. Look, I might as well ask, what are you doing here out in this field?
You were looking for a church?
Yeah.
You wanted to become a Christian?
Yeah.
You didn't find what you were looking for back there at the mall?
No.
This is the last stop after all else. This is my church, if you will. The last one you'll come to before you make your decision.
Not much to decide on. This Christianity is all a joke to me now. I just want to go home.
What do you mean, joke, if you please?
Well, I thought everybody who became a Christian belonged to one God, believed one God. We're together like a family. Not spread out in so many different places, you know, beliefs and denominations, I guess it is. I read the Bible some, and as far as I can tell, it doesn't talk about things like this I saw back there. They yell and scream and say things others don't say, and they're always asking for money, and they say if you don't belong to their own little club, you won't go to heaven, but nobody's on the same page anywhere. I thought a Christian followed this Jesus in the Bible. I heard once that this Jesus was the only way to get to God and to get to heaven, and I am totally confused.
Maybe I can help.
Sure. Why not? What have I got to lose, right?
More than you think.
Now you're scaring me.
Good. You're off to a good start, then.
Please.
Those you saw back there believe that they serve the real God. The real Jesus, if they really knew him. Somebody told them that lie to get them into their church, and they offered them heaven and made it possible without suffering like this Jesus underwent, saying a simple prayer and then doing what they always did before they became Christians. I call those somebodies wolves, myself.
You mean they sin even though they go to church?
Oh, yes.
Well, that doesn't sound like they're good. I thought when you become a Christian, you don't sin anymore. You, like, become...
different? Peculiar?
Yeah, right.
You do become this. You see, their Christianity serves them and their conception of God instead of God himself. They wouldn't need their churches if they really served God. They think the sins they will commit after they become Christians are forgiven. They do these things to get into heaven, thinking they're doing God a favor and being good on the outside. But inside, they are not clean. God wants those who come to him to be separated from the ways of this world, from their old life, their old sins. They make choices based upon what they stand to gain in this life, like money, and property, and families, and a front seat in the church. Much esteem, that kind of thing. When they decide to do these things, and not really crave the simple truths of God, they are sent a strong delusion that they would continue in their lies and unbelief. They made bad decisions from the start.
Like?
Deciding they should become Christians like everybody else does.
Uh-oh.
Deciding their own works and their opinions of themselves will save them from hell. Because they decided to be saved. They fall victim to all the jokes, as you put it. Jokes of the devil. Like spiritual bartenders and the powers that they want that God doesn't allow. These laughing ministries we've heard of on the radio. That God will give them money and riches if they give money to their church.
Oh, yeah. And prosperity and wealth and that they're gonna be whisked away in some kind of secret rapture. Man, I never bought it. And signs and wonders and speaking in languages no one can figure out, and they think their music makes them holy, and their baseball and Jesus this and Jesus that, and for Jesus this and for Jesus that, and their goodness makes them holy, and they think that as long as they do things in the name of this Jesus, well, anything they do, good or bad, will find them favor before God. like killing others in the name of God. Thinking, you know, God wants them to make others believe in him by holding a gun at their heads.
Well, it seems you have a historical knowledge of the downside of Christianity.
Man, isn't anyone telling them the truth?
A few are. But most don't listen. If I may, their ears itch for things they want to hear. Things that won't cost them too much time and energy in being what they call Christians. They hire those preachers you heard
to tell them what they want to hear and not the truth.
It's frustrating trying to get through to them, but they want what they want, and in the end, they get it for themselves.
So it sounds like they're alive on the outside, but dead on the inside, right?
Precisely. I believe you're getting the picture here. They want the best of two worlds, and God wants them to himself, away from this world. God wants those who follow him to take one road or the other. He wants them to serve only one master, you see. And in the final analysis, it is God himself that begins to call to someone, not any church.
So even if they're convinced to join a church, it won't help them because God didn't call them in the first place? So then why did this Jesus die on that cross? To let them who call themselves Christians have their party and do what they think is holy and all the like in his name because what, it's what pleases them?
I ask myself that question a lot.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
It sure does.
So what's your pitch here?
I won't take that as irreverent.
Sorry.
I'll try to keep it simple. It seems to me that somewhere in your heart, you're hearing someone or something calling to you, urging you to seek out the truth about this Jesus and his Father's plan to have deep fellowship with God and save a few from hell. You know that this Jesus died for you, took away the penalty of your sins, and unlike those who decided otherwise, those you just came from, wants you to live a clean, sinless life, to be like him and worship and serve God and make it into heaven.
Yeah, I feel that, but I don't know how. Those maniacs back there aren't to be trusted. All they wanted is my money and my loyalty, like, to trap me, and they...
They wanted your soul.
Huh? Huh? Soul?
Your soul.
Somehow I knew that. What do I do?
You said you wanted to get out of here, right?
Yeah.
As I told you earlier, the road forks up ahead. If you keep to the left on the boulevard, you'll pass through a very wide archway. You'll make it back up to a very broad highway. But there is little chance you'll ever find the truth you are seeking going that way. Many go in that way, and they tend to end up in a bad place.
What? What kind of bad place?
Worse than you can imagine.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Do these Christians go in there too?
Many.
Look, I want to be a Christian that has it right. That isn't a confused fake. You know, I want the truth. I want the truth about all of this.
Well, it looks like God is drawing you then. You do seem hungry for it. I'm glad that you came to me then.
So you can help me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Where does the other road go? Not the broad one.
Where do you think?
Okay, but what's the catch?
Well, it's a very small road. Just a dusty path, really. To the right of the left fork. You can't take your car. It won't fit. The path winds off into the forest beyond. There is a straight gate that opens to it. Find that first. If you decide to go in that way, you'll find the way is narrow and restricted. You'll have to leave everything behind you and walk alone, mostly. Not many travel that way. But the way is clearly marked, and God will be there to guide you through and teach you all you need to know to make it to the end.
And at the end is...
life. If you endure the walk and don't look back.
Wait a minute. If that way leads to being a real Christian, how come nobody wants to go that way?
Because they don't want to give up their lives. The lives God gave them in the first place. They decide what to do with them. They want their own lives and pleasures and control over it all. Didn't you see that at the mall? An enemy of God wants to destroy many and keep them from the truth. You have to strive to go that way, fight all along the way against the temptations of this enemy. You have to fight a good fight for your soul. You have to endure all the way to the end.
Decisions.
Yes. I'll tell you what. Take a walk down to the fork in the road. Take a moment there at the fork and count the cost of doing this. Take a look at that straight gate over in the weeds. Take a moment and count the cost of entering in. I warn you, there will come a moment before you enter in at that straight gate when you must look at yourself and realize that you must leave even yourself behind.
Myself?
Yes, your opinion of yourself. Any proud or high-minded thoughts of your self-worth that you had in the world you planned to forsake to become a follower of this Jesus? You must be humbled as the dust you will walk upon. But you must do this. God doesn't work very well with a person who is proud. He won't be very nice to anyone who says they belong to him and his son and act like they're still in control of their lives, all pushy and full of themselves.
What, am I to be broken down? What, give up control?
Only if you allow yourself to be put in your place before God and offer yourself as an empty cup to him. That's what God calls obedience. You have nothing to offer God. God offers to you. And God will open your eyes and heart and mind and fill you with his understanding. You have none of that before you begin your journey.
So, before I begin this journey, as you call it, with Jesus, I have to be humble.
Correct. You must humble yourself. If this occurs, your heart will break for all the things you will realize you did that offended God, and you will surely know that you are worthless and worthy to go to hell, except that he called you out into his light, to his salvation, to forgive your sins and help you to sin no more. You will be sorry that you offended God. You won't be sorry that you were revealed or caught or for what you lost in this world as a result.
Gee, there's two kinds of sorrow, huh?
Yes, godly sorrow will break you down. It's a gift like everything else God provides for you to come to him. God will listen to you and forgive your sins when you ask him. He will definitely want a humble person with a contrite heart in his kingdom. It is written that he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud.
I see. It's much to consider.
Well, yes. If you're serious about being a real Christian. Like I said, count the cost. You must ask yourself what you are willing to give up and what you're willing to lose to gain life for your soul. You must be willing to be broken, to give up your very life, to surrender to God's will and not your own. It's not an easy thing to do. You will decide to follow a wide or a narrow way. One leads to life, and one leads to death. Simple. If you decide to enter in at the straight gate I mentioned, I want you to know that Jesus will be right there with you. He'll go along with you all the way if you decide to stay the course. I must admit, though, you won't meet many friends along the way. But the few that start out and strive to live like this Jesus usually make it, with his help. I want to remind you, there are only a few getting through that way to life.
I want to know the real God and follow the real Jesus. After all, the Bible said that Jesus is the only way, and I sure didn't find him at the mall.
No, indeed. God seeks out those he calls. And we can't follow Jesus unless God leads us to him in the first place. I really hope you answer that call and are one of the few chosen for heaven.
Well, I appreciate it. I guess I better go. If I decide to go in at that straight gate you speak of, will I finally meet Jesus?
Oh, indeed.
Huh. Great. You know, you seem to know a lot about God and his way, not being from a church and all. But I really believe you. And who are you, anyway?
I've been called many things. I'm just a friend, you might say.
Pointing the way for people like me?
Kind of, yes. And more than that, too.
Well, may I shake your hand, sir? You have been more of a help to clear things up for me, and I'm...
What is it?
Your hand, sir. That's a deep scar there. Shoot, that must have hurt.
It did.
How'd you come by that?
These?
Whoa. Both hands. Both hands.
I got them for helping people like you find their way home to God through His mercy. I got them for wanting to serve God only and be there for folks like you, those who God called.
Can you tell me your name?
I suggest you get down to the road and decide which way you will go. It is getting late. Later than you may think. I want to remind you of what I said one last time. Count the cost of being a real Christian if you decide to go in at the straight gate.
Well, I'm off.
It was good to meet you, my friend. I wish we could have spoken longer, but the road is long and night comes. I will pray for you, my friend.
Looks like a storm coming. Thank you, I'm sure, sir. It was so good to meet you. Glad you set me straight on my choices. I really thank God, sir.
You're welcome, friend.
We will meet again. Make the right choice.
I didn't get any idea he was kidding. Something about his voice. You know, the cost of choosing one of those multitudinous churches is like money and delusion, like he said. The cost of choosing to follow the way to God is like sorrow.
Godly sorrow will break you down.
And humility.
You must be humbled as the dust you will walk upon. You must humble yourself.
I'm counting the cost of giving up even my life.
Count the cost of doing this.
Nothing will fit down this narrow way.
You must leave even yourself behind.
All right. I may as well leave it here for now. Okay. Let's take a walk down to the fork.
You will decide to follow a wide or a narrow way. One leads to life, and one leads to death.
Okay, all right. Okay, a wide arch down to the left. That looks pretty smooth. Man, you can drive the Titanic through there.
Many go in that way. They never return.
Okay, and over to the right. Oh, yeah. It looks like a path.
Over in the weeds. There is a straight gate.
Wow, this is overgrown. So here it is.
You find the ways now. There are only a few getting through that way.
Troy.
I finally know my choices. So now what do I do?
You will decide to follow a wide or a narrow end.
He said to count the cost of entering in.
Life.
Well, I gotta make the choice. Choices.
It's not an easy thing to do.
Choices.
It is getting late.
Make the choices.
It's not an easy thing to do.
Broad or narrow. Life or death.
Night comes. Night comes.
Scum become Christian. Christian.
You will decide to follow a wide or a narrow way.
I'll
or
become a Christian.
Leads to life. Or a narrow way. And one leads to death.
Tomorrow.
Even yourself. Even yourself.
Make the right choice.
Today.